So you really think it's a lot of fun for me to sit here and give a talk? Or even to answer questions? So what is my pay? For some people it is, or for some people it might be the ego, or it might be the money, or it might be the fame. But for me the only repay is if you actually get there, what I'm talking about. If somebody actually can make the way and get either in samadhi or get to the stream entry or to the stage of anagami, that is my only pay I have. It makes me happy with this person. And it just happened to be that somebody from you dropped into apana samadhi for a few hours. So, that makes me very happy. If you actually do what I say and actually achieve to the same goals that I'm talking of. Otherwise, I would consider it pretty a waste of time. You know, sit in front of a bunch of people, you know, and talk something and then it doesn't make any sense. Because they just want to know, they don't really care, or they don't, or they doubt it, or whatever. So just do me the favor and get there. If other people can get there, or can do it, you know, why shouldn't you be able to do it? We all cook with the same ingredients. We all cook with water, you know, and there's nothing a lot that we need to understand. But there's a lot that we need to do. And there's a lot that needs a lot of training. Training to get the mind calm. Training to investigate. Training to use the mind for one's own purposes. And not just for playing around or having fun. Or mentally masturbation. That's not why we do have the brains. We actually have the brains in order to make some use of it. And how often a day, you know, do we make use of it? Mostly it's for fun, for amusement, for this or for that. Can you stop it? It disturbs. Now, get it clear. If you really want to results to happen, then you have to give yourself. You have to give yourself, the deeper the results is, the more you have to give yourself to it. You have to give yourself to the practice. Either being the practice of samadhi or being the practice of investigation. That is the only way how we get results. We all know, even in the world it's the same thing. If we do some things half-heartedly, you know, we get half-hearted results or no results at all. So do it wholeheartedly. That means your whole heart should be in this process. If you do samadhi, your whole heart should be there. And you don't allow the mind to sway off, to swing off from one branch to the other, just because it thinks it's fun. We have done that all our life and we've seen the results of it. And the results of it made us come here. Because they were not satisfied. Now, how long are we going to continue keeping this up? We know that this kind of of jumping from one tree or from jumping from one thought or one memory to the other and building our future that will never arrive. How long are we going to do that? How long are we going to entertain that? Or if it's not this, you know, how entertain our knowledge, how much we know. In the end, we all have to realize that we know that the only thing that we can know is that we know nothing. Some wise Greek guy said that 2,000 years ago. We want to know, we want to understand. And if you understand the true nature of avijja, that is exactly the nature of avijja. It wants to know, it wants to understand, but it will never be able to know and it will never be able to understand. Avijja is a cover. It's a cover of the true citta. Or you can also call it stains. Now if you have a lot of stains in your window, if your window is completely dirty, you won't see anything that is outside. This is the cover that the avijja takes over our true citta. So we are blind. Actually, we are blind. We are completely blind, running around like lunatics in this world, thinking this and thinking that, assuming this and assuming that. And continue and going on. And because we are not alone, we feel secure. All the other lunatics think the same way. So we feel pretty sure that what we think of, that what we assume is right. Next time, you know, you have the opportunity to go to a blind home, observe these people. Just don't follow what the masses thinks, what the masses assume. Follow your heart. That means follow the Dhamma. Follow the Dhamma that is written already in your heart. But because of all this dirt, of all this mud, of all this shit, you know, that is covering up our heart. What else is... You call it avijja, you know? That makes us completely blind. That makes us not seeing our inner wealth. So you actually have to. And there is no way else. You have to get your hands dirty. That means you have to get rid of everything that covers up our citta. And of course we don't like it. Nobody likes to dig in shit with his own hands. He doesn't like the smell. He doesn't like the taste. He doesn't like this or that. And that's what we have to do. This is the way of Panya. If you remember the Eightfold Path, or the path that leads up to the end of the Dukkha, it comprised of three kinds: Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. I was talking a lot about Samadhi, I was talking about Sila, and I was talking about a little bit about Panya. So Samadhi is a must. Sila is a must. And Panya is a must. It's not an option. None of these are an option. If we do not keep our silas, we don't get into Samadhi. And we cannot develop wisdom. Because we are deluded to do this against the sila or that against the sila, how can we develop wisdom? If we don't have enough Samadhi, if we don't have enough mindfulness, how do we get hold of the things that we are doing against the sila? It's impossible. If we don't have enough wisdom, it's the same thing. We won't catch the fine tunes of our sila, of our virtue. So, it all goes together. Remember this clearly. It all goes together. There's not an option that you can leave out. It's not either or. It's all. All parts are important. All parts are like three columns where we raise our house on Dhamma on it. If it's only one column, the house will fall. If it's two columns, the house is still not stable. Only with three columns it's stable. Get it clear. Understand it well. And understand it. Samadhi is a rest that we take, and it's a skill that we develop to increase our mindfulness, to increase our concentration, our ability to concentrate on one object. We don't do that for nothing. We need that skill before we actually can do investigation. We need to be able to concentrate on one object for a long enough time without that the mind is wandering off in this direction or that direction. Even though we can go into Upachara Samadhi or Apana Samadhi and rest there for the end of our life, it will not change a thing. Just these Samadhis are just safe havens. When the moment we go out of the safe haven, the storm is just the same way. It's just a resting place. The storm and the hail and the rain and the whatever that is waiting outside, we just escape for a moment. It's not wrong in this way to escape for a moment, because we do need to have a break and to warm up and to get our things together until we can fight the rain or the storm again. And that's for what it is for. Samadhi, ability to concentrate and to take a rest. Like everybody needs to take a rest during the night when he was working hard. Everybody needs. We cannot just work through all our life. We need to put the body to rest. So it's the same thing with mental work. We need to put the mind to rest. If we can't do that, we are hopeless. We are really hopeless. We will not get anywhere. People in the world normally can't do that. They can't put their mind to rest. And people who constantly think, who cannot get rid of their thinking, they're going to be crazy. Not being able to stop thinking makes us crazy. Thinking the same thought over and over again, and we really get insane. So when we stop thinking, we don't get insane. We get sane. We will rest our mind, and once the mind goes out again, it can do its work. And it's refreshed. It's sharp, it's alert, and it's refreshed. Just like when we get up and had a good break or a good sleep, we get up and we are refreshed and sharp and alert and happy to work again. And that's why that's what samadhi is there for. But the main importance, and I want to stress this today, it's panya. The only thing, and the only and only thing, that will relieve us of dukkha, that will make it happen to enter the stream or to enter Sakadagami or Anagami or Arahantship, is panya, is wisdom, is developing wisdom. Wisdom is the only thing that cuts through the fetters. But now think about, if you do some kitchen work, if you have to cut up vegetables, and you have a knife that is completely blunt, you can't do anything. You just can only smash everything. And that's in the situation we are normally in. We only smash things up. We don't analyze it, we don't cut it up, and we don't understand its true nature, because we cannot cut it up and see its internal structure. We can only smash it with a blunt knife. And to sharpen the knife is the work of samadhi. To get it extremely sharp, to get it extremely alert, the mind, is the work of samadhi. That's why we have to do it. So, until we are not really able to get into samadhi, that's being upachara samadhi or apana samadhi, we have to train that at most. That means all day long, with the exception of maybe 1 hour where we do some investigation. And when we have developed enough confidence and can get any time of the day into upachara samadhi, where we can take a rest, or some people in apana samadhi, where they can take a deep rest, then it's time to switch over to investigation. And then we do investigation all day long. All day long. Except for maybe 1 hour, maybe 2 hours, to rest our mind. And then once we get out, we do investigation again. Because investigation is that. And please open your ears very far and listen to them. Investigation or the development of wisdom is the only thing that cuts loose the fetters, that makes it possible for us to enter the stream, that makes it possible for us to gain insight, that makes it possible for us to get in the stage of Sakadagami, Anagami and Arahantship. Developing of wisdom. But keep in mind, even if that is the most important work, if we have a blunt knife, if our mind is not alert, whatever it does, it will blur. So we will never understand. It's like when we are looking at a TV or at a book with tired eyes, we won't catch what is going on. And it's the same thing. So both of them have to be developed. Both of them have to be being practiced continuously. We have to practice it continuously. So, once we start our investigation, then we rest our mind for 1 hour or maybe 2 hours. When we do samadhi, then at least we have to develop some sort of investigation for 1 hour a day. Only if we do intensive samadhi. When we really for a few days or for a few weeks say, okay, that's it. No thought. No thought. And then we cannot allow any thought to cross into the mind. This is intensive practice. But normally if you just practice samadhi, then at least, you know, once a day, for 1 hour or maybe for 2 hours, we do some basic investigation. Hindrances that come up during our practice, views and opinions that hinder our practice, or even some issues with sila, some issues with our virtue that will come up during practice. This kind of things we can investigate. Or we can start with the investigation of the body. If there are no hindrances, if there are no problems in our practice, then we can start with the investigation of the body. Now, investigation of the body. Today, investigation of the body. Tomorrow, investigation of the body. In a week, still investigation of the body. In a month, still investigation of the body. In a year, still investigation of the body. In 10 years, most probably, still investigation of the body. This is the only topic that we have. This is the only topic that we do investigate until the stage of anagami. And if it takes us 20 years, then we have to investigate the body for 20 years. If it takes us 30 years, then we have to investigate the body for 30 years until we understand. If it takes us 10 lifetimes, then we have to investigate the body for 10 lifetimes. This is the first stage. There's nothing else that we have to do. We have to investigate the body. Today, tomorrow, this year, next year, and so on, until we finally understand the body. In the body, is greed and hate are rooted in this body. So once we understand the true nature of the body, we understand the true nature of greed and hate, and we can pass it. And that is the stage of anagami. And at the stage of anagami, the body is of no interest anymore. And it also means that we are not going to be born again into one of the realms of existences anymore. That means our main work is over. The other topics are the four namakandas, the four mind khandas. Like mental feeling, sankhara, thoughts, memory and association and consciousness. And we have to investigate that until the stage of arahantship. So, you see, the main importance is the body. And the body only disappears, at the stage of anagami. Then it's of no concern anymore. Because we have completely understood it. We have understood its nature. We have understood the nature of greed and hate that is rooted within this body. So this is the only topic that we have to investigate. And within this investigation, of course, bodily feelings will take their part. So Vedana, when we think about Vedana, there are bodily feelings and there are mental feelings. When we do investigation of the body, we do have to investigate also bodily feelings. Because that's the only thing that we are aware of actually when we close our eyes. And we do our contemplation when we close our eyes, and we do our samadhi when we close our eyes. We don't have our eyes open. So do you understand that correctly? If you believe it or not, that's up to you. But this is the only way. Understanding the bodies, understanding the khandhas, understanding the first khandha. In this body, greed and hatred are rooted. So if you do not destroy the pot, where the plant of earth, where the plant of greed and hate are rooted, we will not be able to destroy the plant. We will not be able to destroy greed and hate. And what does it mean, greed and hate? All our life we have been running after the pleasant things and avoiding the unpleasant things. So now with the body investigation, now we just do the opposite. We run after the unpleasant things and avoid the pleasant things. Just to balance our scale. If you think about greed and hate being a scale, one side is greed and one side is hate, then look at your own scale, how far it is out of balance. All our life we have been seeking the pleasant things, and all our life we have been avoiding the unpleasant things. So it's far way out of balance. Now when we start to do an investigation of the body, we just switch it. We are not looking for the pleasant anymore, we are looking only for the unpleasant experiences. And it starts when the moment we open up our body, it's the most helpful thing, we always have unpleasant feelings. Feelings of loathe, feelings of anger, feelings of discomfort, feeling of discontent, they're all coming up. And that's exactly what we want. That's exactly what we're after. We are after these unpleasant feelings. Not because we want to punish ourselves. This would be the wrong attitude. but to understand them clearly for what they are. Got it? We want to understand unpleasant feelings for what they are. If they are just discomfort, if they are just restlessness, if they are pain, we want to understand the true nature of unpleasant feelings. And that's the reason why we bring them up. Got it? You don't have to do it. If you think you are cleverer than the Lord Buddha, you don't need to do it. If you don't want to get to the end of dukkha, you don't need to do it. You still can hanker after the pleasant feelings. And you have the illusion that the pleasant feelings, that we enjoy the pleasant feelings. But what actually, when you actually investigate yourself, when you actually look at yourself, when you're actually very mindful about what is happening within yourself, that you find it very ridiculous when you get to the result that the unpleasant feelings you avoid and from the pleasant feelings you run away. Why is that? We're always running after the pleasant feelings. Once we encounter it, we run away from them again. We run away how to get more of it, how to make it last longer, or. We run away in our thoughts from the pleasant feelings. And it's the same way, we run away from the unpleasant feelings with our thoughts. It's the same principle. If you don't see it, then look at it, how you do it. The moment an unpleasant feeling is coming up, you want more of it. So you try to recreate the situation, or you plan your future how to get most of it. And it's easy to plan the future, But actually you're not staying with a pleasant feeling. So you don't actually know what is a pleasant feeling. And it's the same thing holds true for the unpleasant feeling. But because of the unpleasant feelings, we always avoid it. That's why we're going to bring them up. To understand the true nature. To stay with the unpleasant feeling. To see its arising, to see its changing, and to see its ceasing. To see its arising, to see its changing, and to see its ceasing. To understand the true nature of where it's coming from. Why is it coming from? What's the causes? What's the reasons? But we don't have to speculate about this. Investigation is not speculation. It's not assuming. It's not knowledge. Investigation is teaching the heart. You understand it, this feeling? No. So you have to go again until you understand it. Once you truly understand it, then you can go to the pleasant feelings. And then it's easy to truly understand the pleasant feelings the same thing. But before we don't understand it, we cannot let go of it. It's just impossible. So for the people who make up their mind, to enter stream or to go to the end of dukkha, well, they have to do it. Sorry to say, for 99.9% it will hold. There will be one or two exceptions. But the people who come here, the people who live in the monastery here, the monks who are here, the monks Tanaja Mahapoa has trained, all of them did the same thing. The monks under the Lord Buddha did the same thing. There was an exception. So we have to do it. We have to understand the nature of loathsomeness. We have to understand unpleasant feelings. We have to understand discomfort. That's why we don't eat too much, or that's why we only eat once a day, to understand the feeling of hunger, to understand the feeling of pain. That's why we sit for a long time. Understanding, but the understanding is not taking place in our brains. We use our brains to investigate pain. What is pain? What is it? What is it really? Comes out as a feeling. What is this feeling? Does it change? Does it arise? Does it cease? That's where we use our brain. We don't use our brain to make assumptions or conclusions. Yes, this is it. Every conclusion we take or we make with our brain is wrong. It's not the truth. The only one who can see the truth is our own citta, is our own heart. That's the only one who understands. And it's the only one who has the power of letting go. There's nobody. We can say, let go, let go, let go of this pain, and we still don't like it. We cannot let go. The brain cannot let go of the pain. The brain cannot let go of unpleasant feelings. It's the heart that understands that lets go on its own accord. Understand this clearly. Please open your heart. Please open your ears very wide today. Understand it, you know, don't forget it. What I say, you know, it's not a joke. It's pure Dhamma. You have to understand it. And don't think that you can infer something, you know. Oh yes, I did this yesterday, I did this the whole year, now this is like this or this is like this. This is wrong. It has nothing to do with the truth. Once you understand, the heart will let go. It's just like this example, you know, when a child puts his hand in the fire, you know, it will do it only once because the experience of the hotness or the heat or the burning will never ever let it do it again. And that is the experience that takes place. If the father or the mother tells the child, you know, the fire is hot and you will burn, it doesn't know it. It will accept it, it might accept it, you know, but once it will do it. And then it will know, and it will never do it, for, you know, on its own will again. And that is the same thing with the heart. So if you don't teach the heart, and if you just use, you know, use the investigation to teach our brain, then it's useless. Forget it. Don't even start it. Any kind of assumption we make is a wrong assumption. Every kind of conclusion we draw is a wrong conclusion. The insight takes place in the heart, huh? In our citta. Insight means seeing inside our own citta. And what is in our own citta? Dhamma. And Dhamma is the only thing that can set us free. There's nothing else that can set us free. Dhamma is the truth. Dhamma is the teaching of the Lord Buddha. This can set us free. So don't even think that your conclusions, that your assumptions, that you're in... inferences, you know, can make you free. You know they can't. Because then somebody else comes up, you know, and just makes the other. Just has the opposite argument. And then you come into doubt, you know, if your own argument was right. Or if your own conclusion was right. But you don't, you cannot argue with a child that puts his hand in a fire. The child exactly knows, you know, what the fire is like, if it's burning or not. And somebody comes up and says, oh, you know, the fire doesn't burn, you know. The child doesn't just buy into it. It knows itself because it had the experience. Understand it? It's experience. It's the experienced heart. Tanaja Mahabodha talks so much about the experienced heart. The experienced heart is the one who has the insight. It's the one that sets itself free. So we have to teach the heart. We don't have to teach the brain. If we need to teach the brain, you know, to get to the end of dukkha, you know, I will give you lots of books here. And I hope this knowledge will set you free. But because it cannot do it, because it doesn't have the ability to do it, that's why we have to go the way of practice. And the practice is teaching the heart. So let's have a look at the body. Let's have a look at the unpleasant feelings. From now on, this will be our main topic. If we choose to get out of the roller coaster of life. Investigation of unpleasant feelings. That means we have to learn to stay with unpleasant feelings. We can also learn if there happens to be a pleasant feeling arising, then we can stay with the pleasant feeling, of course. Stay with the feelings. See them arising, see them ceasing, see them changing. Be it pain, be it discomfort, being even disheartenment. You know, we have the three characteristics that we can use upon everything that we encounter, each phenomenon we encounter. That is the characteristic of anicca, that everything arises and ceases and changes. Impermanence, in other words. That's the second one is anatta. This is not me, this is not mine, this does not belong to me. What does not belong to me? What is not mine? What is not me? Whatever I can experience. This is not me. Whatever I see, whatever I hear, whatever I taste, whatever I touch, whatever I think, whatever I remember, this is not me, that is not mine, that does not belong to me. Feeling is not me, is not mine, doesn't belong to me. The body is not me, is not mine, doesn't belong to me. So we can retract a bit. If we can retract, then we can observe it, then we can investigate it, cut it up. But remember, you know, our knife has to be sharp. Just think about, you know, doing kitchen work with a blunt knife. Or trying to cut up something to see inside it. You know, if you have a blunt knife, you just see smashed potatoes or smashed tomatoes or whatever. You don't see the inside structure. And if you don't see the inside structure, you will never understand. So a blunt knife is not really helpful. So we have to sharpen our knife in samadhi. We have to get the mind completely to rest. Once it gets out of the rest, you know, we use it to do investigation. Investigation sometimes can be just investigation of whatever comes up. But not just whatever comes up, you know. Whatever comes up, we put in one of into five groups. Now, this is the group of the body. This is the group of feeling. This is the group of memory and association. This is the group of thinking. And this is the group of consciousness. We want to understand, you know, the five products or the five groups that makes us. We believe we are such a fixed identity. That's what we call I, myself. But it actually consists of five groups constantly changing, constantly arising and ceasing, tricking each other, you know, making us believe or fooling us into believing that this is me, this is I, that is this mine. The third characteristic is dukkha, unpleasantness, discomfort, restlessness. We can use all these three characteristics while we do our investigation. So understand, investigation, the development of wisdom, and this is a completely new skill that we have to develop. We have developed our brain in this world pretty well. But now we have to set the brain to work on a different subject that we do not know yet what to make of and how to do it and how to pursue it and so on and so on. So we have to learn that. We have to learn to dissect this body. We have to learn to investigate the body. When we start with the investigation of the body, we start with the outside. Hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth and skin. So, we start with it. Where is this dirt coming from? If we don't wash our hair, what happens to our hair? If we don't cut our nails, what happens to our nails? If we don't brush our teeth, what happens to our teeth? What happens to our teeth in the long run? What happens to our skin if we don't wash it? What happens to our skin from the baby skin till the skin of a dead person? See it. See it with your inner eyes. Learn to see it. You know, close your eyes and see the things with your inner eyes. See the hair and then dissect it. You know, cut it up with your wisdom. Cut it up with samadhi. Cut it up with the sharpness of your mind. Cut it up and see it. Or if you'll be able to do it, you can also use the four elements. All the things that exist in this whole universe, including the five khandhas, are made of four elements. It's the water element, it's the fire element, it's the earth element, and it's the air element. That's it. Even the five khandhas consist of this. So once the arahant goes to Nibbana, everything is gone. Because conventional reality doesn't exist in Nibbana. So the five elements that made up the khandhas will just go, distribute itself to the rest of the four elements. So, that's all what is happening. So the five khandhas are made of the four elements, so the body is made of the four elements, everything is made of the four elements. Our thoughts are formed of the four elements, and so on and so on. You can use that for investigation. Or you can just look at it in the beginning. You just can look at your face. You remember when you watch your face in the mirror, you know, one day you thought, you know, you were fine, next day you looked, you felt, you know, bad, and so on, and so on. This is the skin. And then take off the skin and then look again in the mirror. What do you see? Is that something pleasant to see? Take off your skin, take off your hair, you know, just shave off your hair. Most of the people don't like it. People in the world don't like it to shave off their hair because they think they're losing an aspect of their self. That's why women so often dress, you know, go to the hairdresser to dress up their hair, you know, to make a different personality of themselves. Or it's the same way, you know, we go in a clothes store, you know, and dress up ourselves. Dress up. What do we dress up? Huh? What do we dress up? What do we make up for? Women usually use makeup. Make up for? For what? For the outside, for the delusion. That's all delusional stuff. What is in there? What is in there? Get to know it. What is in there? What is the hair consist of? Where's all this dirt coming from? Where's the dirt coming from? Huh? Does it come from the outside? If we put our clothes just hanging on the line outside, you know, they don't smell and they don't get dirty. The moment they touch our body, you know, within a day, you know, they are dirty. Huh? Where's this dirt coming from? And if this dirt comes, if we realize that this dirt must come from this body, inside this body, it's inside this body. Well, we open this body up and look where this dirt is. We don't like this dirt. We don't like whatever comes out of this body, we don't like, we loathe. We like the food that goes in, but we don't like the shit. We don't even like to look at the shit. We don't even like to put our nose close to the shit. But it has been in this body for 24 hours or 36 hours or 70 hours. There we don't mind it, as long as it's hidden in the body. We don't mind it. The moment it comes out, we mind it. Why? We loathe it. We hate it. Why? Why? Investigate. Get to know it. Why? Why do we loathe the hair that is sticky or greasy or things like this? Or when the fingernails become too long, you know, why do we loathe it? It's the nature of this body. It grows the fingernails. It grows the hair out of the skin. We only like the things that come in touch with the body. We don't like the things that come out of this body. Nowhere in the world, you know, a factory like this would be able to make money. Whatever comes in is nice and beautiful, and whatever comes out is just a piece of shit. Nobody would buy the product, though. In this world, you know, in this economic world, nobody would support a factory like this. So why are we supporting it? Think about it. Why are we supporting a factory that turns everything into shit? Everything into disgusting things. Why do we support this kind of factory? Huh? Think about it. Get to know it. Understand it. Now we look in the mirror and think, oh, everything is nice. Then we put another dress on, everything is nice. Or we go to the hairdresser, or we cut our nails, huh? Or brush our teeth. To hide the fact that this body, you know, consists of loathsomeness. This body is ugly. You know, you just, the only thing, what you need to do is not only undress yourself, it's pretty disgusting, but also undress your skin and see what is inside. Just tear off your skin. So what is that beautiful? And if you tear off your skin, you know, then tear off the skin of a woman, the same thing. And where's the difference between woman and man? Huh? Use your brain not only to amuse yourself, use your brain to get to the truth. Investigate it, dissect it, you know, split it up. Get to use this technique, you know. You have to develop the skill. The better you can do the skill, the faster you are on the road. Put the body in the bits and pieces, you know, and assemble it in front of you to understand the nature of the body. What is body? Is the arm the body? Is the leg the body? Is the finger the body? Is the brain the body? What is the body? And remember what the Lord Buddha teaches us about the wagon. Once you disassemble the wagon into bits and pieces, you just have blank woods, you know, nuts and bolts. Where's the wagon? There's no wagon. So it's an illusion. We think, you know, we see the wagon, but once we disassemble it into bits and pieces, where's the wagon? And the same thing happens when we disassemble the body into bits and pieces. We can do it very, very detailed form, you know, putting out every limb, you know, at one time, you know, putting in front of us, you know, orderly, or you just scramble it up, you know, in a heap, whatever. And then look, you know, and where's the body? There's no body. And that's exactly what's happening. When we do that correctly, you know, the sense of I, the sense of identification disappears for a second. And that's exactly what we want to achieve. We cannot think about that this will disappear. It will disappear when we do this exercise correctly. The identification with this body will disappear for a fraction of a second. And that makes our heart understand that the body and I are not the same thing. Because now we still believe. We so truly believe that the body is self. That this is me. So we have to understand that. We have to do this exercise. We can do the exercise. The body is a big topic. And don't think that you are done within a day, or a week, or a month, or a year. For most of us it takes years. And this is the only work. This is the work that leads to liberation. This is the work. Just the body work. Understand it. Open your ears. This body work leads us to the stage of anagami. Huh? Understand it. And only then the work of the body is finished. Our investigation of the body is finished. Only then. Because it's a pot of plant for greed and hate. If we don't understand the true nature of greed and hate, if we don't understand the body where all the greed and hate is rooted into, then we don't understand. And we can't let go. We can't let go, or the heart will not let go. Don't get fooled by your assumptions. Don't get fooled by your views. All kinds of views you have are wrong. They come, sometimes, you know, if you have deep insight, they might come closer to the truth, but they are not the truth. Remember this. None of our assumptions, none of our conclusions, none of our views, as close as they come to the truth, are the truth itself. So in order to see the truth, we have to look inside. We have to get rid of our views and of our assumptions. And even in the stage before we enter Anagami, we have to get rid of all our knowledge that we have gathered upon. Gathered along the path. The more knowledge you have gathered along the path, the more difficult it is to get there. So try to get rid as fast as possible of all the knowledge you have. All the views and the opinions you gathered up in your backpack. It must be heavy as, I don't know, as a mountain. It drags you down on the way to the liberation. That's for sure. When you enter the stage of Anagami, knowledge, everything that you have known, has to disappear. And that might be as scary as it sounds. Everything about you, everything about the world has to disappear. Because in each kind of state, be it the stage of Sotapanna, Sakadagami, or Anagami, or Arahant, the five khandhas disappear. And one of the khandhas is memory and association. So that's knowledge. Thought together with thought, this is our knowledge. This is our views and opinions. And they have to disappear. Otherwise, if they don't disappear, we cannot enter. If you hold on them, if we latch on to them, we will never be able to get to one of the stages. So I hope you opened your ears and you understand that the main important, the main task is investigation of the body. And coming with investigation of the body is investigation of bodily feelings. Investigation, you can investigate feelings at the same time as the body investigation. But that's about the two khandhas you can investigate. The namas khandhas you will not be able to understand. Be clear. You can skip the body investigation and investigate the rest of your life just the nama khandha. That means sanya, sankhara and vijnana. And it's fruitless work. You just did useless work. You will not be able to catch the importance of the nama khandhas if you have not got rid of the most grossest thing. Understand it. Of the grossest thing that is the body. If we have not got rid of it, if it's still in our concern all the time, and it is all the time, 99% of our time the body will take our concern. So if we have not got rid of this body, if we have not completely mentally destroyed it, how can we even, you know, attach to the finer or more subtle states of the Namakanda? How can we see them for what they are? It's impossible. It's just impossible. Only at the stage of Anagami, then there will be the investigation of the nama khandha. So that be, if you have not done Vedana already, that be sanya, sankhara and vijnana. And vijnana you can't even investigate until sanya and sankhara have disappeared. Vijnana is just the recognition that something has come into our sense contact. And there are about 3,000 mind moments in a blink of the eye. Imagine that. Can you catch it? If you can catch it, you know, then you're good. 3,000 mind moments in the blink of an eye. The body runs, or the chitta runs around, gets to all the nerve ends, you know, gets all the sensations, you know, that come into contact with this body. That's how we can walk, how we can run, how we can swim, how we can eat, how we can shit, everything. It's done within the blink of the eye. You don't have to think about it. So that's why we don't see it. It's so fast. We have to increase our mindfulness to get to that state. We have to increase it extremely. We have to sharpen our mind. We have to increase it. ไม่รู้ อาจจะอยู่ที่ โกดัง นะ Now The path to liberation is the path of sila, samadhi and panya. If our sila is not correct, or if our sila, our virtue is broken, we will not be able to advance in samadhi or panya. And that's the same thing holds true with samadhi. If our samadhi is not good enough, if our concentration or mindfulness is not good enough, we cannot advance in sila or panya. And it's the same thing for panya. So the three go together. But our main work is the stage of panya. Our main work is not only a stage of investigation of vipassana, as it is called in the West, just looking at what is coming into the mind contact. No, it's real work. It's tough work. It's hard work. It's unpleasant work. It's digging in the shit. It's the investigation of body, and it's the investigation of all unpleasant feelings. That's the main work, you know, and however long you will be, you know, until your stage of anagami, this will be your work. Sorry to say, you know, there is no pleasant ride to enlightenment. Even though we imagine, you know, if you find a way that is pleasant, you know, to get enlightened, you know, please tell me about it. But the Lord Buddha didn't see it this way. That's why he didn't taught it. The Lord Buddha fainted 3 times because of pain. Fainted. Because of pain. Lumpu Man fainted because of pain 3 times. He was not willing to give up to the Kilesas. That's why he fainted, you know. He said, you know, better to be faint than to give up. Then Ajahn Mahabodha said he was close to it, but he actually never fainted. Because he had a good teacher who could show him out. So it's not that we go to have a pleasant ride in the right direction. Even when we look at the Christian teaching, even Jesus said, you know, it's a stony path that leads to the heavens. And stony path is always an unpleasant path. It's never a pleasant path. But it's a very interesting path. It can be extremely exciting. That doesn't contradict. It can be extremely exciting. Once we get the tools, you know, of the investigation going, then it becomes, you know, completely absorbing, just this investigation. But it's always a difficult. We always will be disheartened, or we always feel sad, or we will be feel frightened, or whatever, we feel afraid. Or we fear death, or whatever. We have to deal with all these things. It's not difficult if you have the right attitude. It's not difficult if you have samadhi, you know, as a resting place. And then we can stop, you know, for 1 or 2 hours and get into deep state of samadhi, and then we're refreshed. And not only when we go into the deep state of samadhi, we're not only refreshed, but we see that there is no atta in this state. That there is no self. So, when we come out, you know, the self is still not has not developed yet. So we can use it, you know. We can use this state, you know, to investigate very clearly, and then we are running, you know. We are running along the path. Most of the time we are stumbling, you know. Before we get up to make the next step, it might take a few weeks. But when we come out after the Apana Samadhi, you know, we can do the same thing within a minute or 2 minutes instead of 2 months. We just see it clearly. It's like just a sharp knife that we put, you know, we just place on the tomato and cuts itself up. And we clearly see whatever is inside. We see the structure. So we have to understand the structure of unpleasant feeling. We have to understand the structure of hair, of skin, of teeth, of the inner organs, of the assemblance of this body. We have to understand these structures before we actually can. It's not that we have to teach, you know, and just to say. So the main work is investigation. the main work for the next years or maybe next decades is the work of investigation, unpleasant feelings and the body. Until we got to the stage of Anagami. Don't think it gets easier, it's getting more difficult. Not yet. If somebody asks a question, I'm out, so I have to close now. When I give a talk, don't ask questions, because then it's the end of my talk. You have to learn that. Because the flow of Dhamma, somebody interrupts it. It can be Fatanacha Mahabho, somebody takes a picture of him with a flash. That's the end of his Dhamma. It completely interrupts. The flow of Dhamma has to flow out, you know, and it draws itself, it draws itself, it draws itself. Somebody comes to interrupt it and it's gone. Then you have to start up anew. So don't, please don't do that. If you want to listen to Dhamma, then don't do it. If you don't want to listen, okay, you can do it. It's you. It's a benefit for you, all of you. It's not for my benefit. I don't give the talk for my benefit. As I said in the beginning, I have nothing, you know. There's nothing that I gain from this talk. The only thing is the little bit of happiness, you know, when I actually see one of the students, you know, getting into one of these states I'm constantly talking about. This is the happiness, and that gives me confidence that actually what I'm saying is not wrong. So it's for your benefit, so you should be able. You should make up your ears, you know, you should open your ears, you know, to listen to the Dhamma that comes out. And you should make the effort and the determination to go there. Okay. So now you can ask questions, huh? No, I don't mind.